God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Businessman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a... And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
That's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, wow, we have a lot of stuff to cover. Just buckle down, buckle up, get ready, because we have a lot of news to share with you. I am going to try to get to that Flynn piece. I know people are tuning in because they want to hear me talk about it. And say what I have to say, and I have it all queued up. We have a lot of show to go through, so I'm going to try to do my best to get to it. We're going to save that for near the end. I want to get to some really pertinent news. Obviously, the Trump thing in New York is big news. Judge Merchant threatened to jail Donald Trump. But his... controller for Trump pretty much ended the case. In any other case, this case would be ended. But the two standards of justice know no bounds, so that we're in unprecedented times historically. We've never dealt with this kind of tyranny in America, for sure, unless you're talking about a revolution, and unless you're talking about the Civil War, perhaps. But other than that, we've never been so divided as a country. And you get there because of DEI, ESG, basically government that's too big, and a population that's too weak. And that's why they keep on chipping away at you with inflation, with their inflation weapons. And with their banning your rifles and ability to defend yourself, they chip away at every aspect of your life by fining you to death with regulatory weaponization of government. And so naturally, we have a whole weaponization of government committee. This doesn't really seem to do much. I mean, it's Jim Jordan's baby, but where's the beef? We should be having subpoenas. We should be cutting their throats as much as they want to cut our throats. It's sad to witness a speech like the one that I'm going to share with you here with Matt Gaetz. Talking about a guy that we like a lot around here, Peter Navarro, we've had on our show. We've had Peter Navarro on our show. And he's in jail right now because he violated a subpoena before Congress and decided that he wasn't going to testify because he had executive privilege with conversations he had with the president. So let's take a listen to Matt Gaetz who tried to get an interview, an in-prison interview with Peter Navarro, and they wouldn't let him do it.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to alert this House of the actions of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, which seem to be vindicating the claim made by Peter Navarro that he is being held as a political prisoner. I've been trying for 5 weeks to be able to interview Mr. Navarro. And there are provisions that ought to allow this, and I was informed directly by Director Peters, who runs the Bureau, that that request would be denied. And the reason it's being denied is because Peter Navarro is too notorious to be interviewed by a member of Congress. John Gotti was interviewed when he was in prison. The QAnon shaman was interviewed in prison. Director Peters herself brought NBC News through prisons to showcase the work of corrections that's being done. So I think there is something else afoot here. Mr. Navarro, I'm being told, is not being allowed to access his attorney, and it is because it is shameful what has been done to Peter Navarro based on a sham January 6th committee and a sham indictment and a sham conviction that we ought to work to remediate immediately upon President Trump's rightful and righteous return to office. Thank you.
Wow. That's pretty bad, right? That's happening here in America. America. So we got more. It's not just happening in America, though. That's the sad truth. German politician of the Conservative Party, AfD, Marie-Therese Kaiser, was just convicted and fined $6,000 plus. Her crime? Posting statistics showing that Afghan immigrants are disproportionately committing sexual assault in Germany. She got punished for that. That's what she got punished for. You had the big Met Gala last night, right? Met Gala at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. You had all these fine people who preach ESG, climate change, and DEI, diversity of equity of inclusion. You did not earn it. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? Which is nothing but discrimination and racism. It's a quota-based system. You're picking talent based on skin color, like they do at United with their pilots. It's a joke. Absolutely wild article from Politico this morning admitting that the pro-Palestine protests are funded by deep state mega donors like Bill Gates and George Soros and the Rockefeller family and the Pritzker family that owns Hyatt and who's the governor of Illinois. The same people who behind Black Lives Matter are funding these protests as well, as we all suspected. But why are the MSN admitting it? The donors include some of the biggest names, some of the most outspoken groups against Biden and Israel get funding from foundations attached to some of the biggest names in Democratic circles. So pro-Palestinian protesters are backed by a surprising source. Biden's biggest donors are supporting the pro-Palestine protesters. They were out in force with the Met Gala yesterday in New York City. Even people like Jake Tapper from CNN have to talk about it. So we're going to share it with you. And then I got some good news about DEI here just in a second. But let's take a listen to this.
Noting that a lot of the multimillionaires and billionaires funding the most explicitly anti-Israel groups,
CNN,
ones that think Israel has no right to exist, that are active on campuses, that these groups are funded by big Biden donors, the Pritzkers, the Gateses, George Soros, David Rockefeller Jr. Should they stop funding these groups? Are they causing unrest for the American people?
Well, let me say this. I think that everybody, as the president has said, needs to kind of get focused in on the very core principles of what our Constitution allows and what our Constitution protects. And that is this. Everybody has a right to protest, but they have to protest peacefully. If they're protesting violently, that has to end. There's no place for that. There's no place for anti-Semitism. There's no place for Islamophobia.
Politico has a story out this morning noting that a lot of...
Well, Trump was advocating for peaceful and patriotic protests. There were no guns found on J6. No guns whatsoever. The only people that were harmed were the Trump patriots, like Ashley Babbitt, killed by Richard Byrd, a black guy shooting a white woman, and he still has his job. Nancy Pelosi didn't want to look into that, investigate that crime ever. And they're still rotting in jail, and along with Peter Navarro, who they can't even speak to. Congressman can't even get a word with Peter Navarro, who was one of America's best economic advisors. Better than the one I played for you yesterday, which was, what, the economic advisor that didn't know what a bond was? Didn't know how the difference between printing money and inflation. I mean, it's incredibly bizarre, the world we're living in. And about these protests, even Dick Van Dyke, who never speaks about issues, who's 100 years old, or 99, but he is unbelievably old and unbelievably together. And this is a guy who had a drinking problem too, by the way. He was an alcoholic there for part of his life. And he's living to 100 and he's as healthy as he could be. Unbelievable. But a lot of people are wondering where he was coming from with this. What side of the aisle was he coming from? You decide. I actually don't know the answer to that question. I think it's a matter of interpretation. But let's take a listen to Dick Van Dyke talking about how he thinks that these protests are a distraction to maybe a Supreme Court ruling or something else.
I'm Dick Van Dyke. You may remember me. I used to fall down a lot on purpose. I don't speak up a lot, but there's something on my mind that I wanted to talk about. You know, our Supreme Court has delayed any decision about a president's immunity, and at the same time they have stalled everything so that Donald Trump's path back to the White House is pretty clear now. And when that happened, both of the cable network stations printed headlines, corrupt. Our Supreme Court is corrupt. And then nothing. Silence. Not another word has been spoken about it by anybody. They dropped the subject as if they'd been squelched. At the same time, for some reason, our college students, out of the blue, became very concerned about what's happening in the Middle East. I'm beginning to feel a little manipulated. Somehow. Think about it, will you? Thanks.
Wow, that's pretty deep. So, you know, you're talking about these things. You're talking about Trump winning the Supreme Court, because that's the likely outcome. He's going to win this presidential immunity thing, which is going to trash all of his cases. And they thought it was going to be coming out. And then it didn't for some reason. But it's coming out soon. And then Trump's also winning in these court cases. But that's all they want to talk about is the negative side of this, the negative spin. But Trump keeps winning, whether it's Fani, whether it's Letitia James, you know, asking for some ridiculous, you know, and the establishment elite, the real moneymakers, not the voodoo, wicked Hitler wannabes like Bill Gates and George Soros, you know, always wanting to manipulate things. but more like the people that are out there, you know, doing things like Elon Musk or some of these big real estate investors that work hard for their money are saying, we're never going to invest in New York City. And so you get a lot of like pushback. People are starting to wake up. Trump is going to the Bronx and to different areas of Manhattan, to construction sites, and bringing people pizzas. And the media just eats it up. They want to cover it too, because Trump is so dynamic and Biden is so boring and can't string sentences together and never got 81 million votes. That had to have been election fraud. It's just the laws of physics. So it's interesting what Dick Van Dyke said. You can interpret that a lot of different ways. But I think there was. Because when you take a look at the financing behind these protests, it's pretty radical. Hamas, with help of Soros-backed NGOs, are training American college students to be terrorists. And I said, why? That was a Politique Republic. Why, I ask? Because they've already been indoctrinated by socialist professors. College students and radical leftists already behave like herds of sheep. This is the same behavior of terrorists conditioned to kill like sociopaths. Their narcissism and emotions feed their delusion. That's what it is. Students participate in the Gaza solidarity encampments at universities across the country are being taught to become militants. The NGOs encourage militancy and instruct students to break laws. George Soros is behind a lot of this. One of the possible leaders of Columbia University in Hamilton Hall protest is a 40-year-old millionaire heir anarchist. And that's according to Breitbart. And I don't know his name, but he's a young guy, but he's a millionaire. Now, we got this clip from George Soros that basically talks about how he got rich. And he got rich through exploiting the heck out of the Soviet Empire collapse.
The Soviet Empire collapsed. And as the empire collapsed, I moved in and picked up the pieces. First in Hungary in 1984, and then Poland in 87, China in 87 as well. So this is how the Soros Empire was replacing the Soviet Empire.
And how do you think you're doing in your imperial ambition?
Well, see, I mean, that's just so funny. And he about collapsed the economy in the UK with currency manipulation. It was absolutely insane that he's allowed to just do whatever he wants in the United States. He should be banned. He's been banned from trading on the UK stock exchange. Bill Maher finally says student loan forgiveness plan arguably amounts to tax dollars supporting Jew-hating on campus. This is definitely an alternative view that is literally and empirically true. The student loan forgiveness of Joe Biden is literally financing Israeli genocide, and yet the Jews still want to vote for Joe Biden? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're giving student loan forgiveness to these radical left-wing nut jobs, sheep, people that don't think on their own, people that don't even know what they're protesting for. They're like zombies. It's disgusting. So Greg Gutfeld makes some interesting observations. Since it's a short clip, we're going to play this too. This is all the stuff I actually had queued up for yesterday that we're covering today.
Islamophobia present.
That's right.
There isn't that there. He cannot even isolate. Like, it's pretty clear that Jews will always be treated differently, negatively. How can this be? Like, why can't you just say this is anti-Semitism and it's wrong instead of placing it into the context of something else? Now, when you look at the protests, there's two things you got to notice, especially the videos we were seeing, mostly young women. And a lot of people aren't talking about that, and I don't know why, but they look miserable, disheveled. Meanwhile, when you see those counter-protesters, those frat boys, healthy, good-looking guys, they got it together. These women are a mess. There's something going on in our culture where leftism has led young women down a path where their only purpose they perceive is outrage. And you see this in every issue, whether it's trans, supporting Hamas, BLM. They've devoted their aimless energy into causes that serve to only undermine their future, their happiness. And we've derided motherhood to a point where their only baby is abortion.
Isn't that disgusting? But it's so true. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's going on. So the UNC Patriots raised almost $500,000 in one day. And by the way, so is the RNC, the $76 million in April, thanks to Laura Trump.
Listen, first of all, I got to say, I'm very proud of these boys and very, very proud that we have parents that are raising good kids like this in our country.
Yes.
Don't forget, these protesters, they're dragging that American flag on the floor. The only reason they're able to protest and have their voice is because people are buried in the dirt right now defending that flag and their right to free speech. So bravo for these guys. And by the way, too, Larry, yeah, they raised over almost $500,000 in just under a day. Now, if you look at the other GoFundMes, the one for the UCLA Marxists, they raised only $5,000 in 8 days.
Oh,
then you look at Harvard University, $1,000 for those communists. So the people are voting with their dollars and they support these patriotic Americans, and I salute them.
Bravo.
Wow, that's a big, huge money disparity right there, right? All right, so the plan to remove Trump from office started the day after he won in 2016. This is a guy, we follow each other on X, and his name's Jeff Carlson. He works over at Epoch Times. He's one of the smartest research journalists, economists that I know of. And we've been communicating for years, many years, since 2015. And so this guy, he's got a gig over at Epoch Times, but he's an economist. His name's Jeff Carlson. The Maker's Mark is what he used to be associated with. But let's take a listen to what he has to say.
We have the DOJ's initial concerns over the release of Trump's binder, followed by deeper concerns that Trump still had a copy of the binder after the DOJ successfully clawed the official docs back. Meanwhile, there was a parallel track of career bureaucrats who understood which documents should ultimately be in Trump's possession, while recognizing that those very same documents were still entangled at the General Services Administration, or GSA, for future shipment to Mar-a-Lago. This explains why Gary Stern, General Counsel of the National Archives, was so plugged into the material originally in Trump's possession, and why these same officials, in tandem with the Biden White House, set out in pursuit of Trump for documents he didn't yet have in his possession. It was all a big setup, with the goal of getting that extra copy of Trump's declassified binder, while simultaneously entrapping Trump for documents that were actually being packed and awaiting shipment to Mar-a-Lago at the GSA. This story actually begins at the end of the Trump administration. As newly released court documents note, toward the end of Trump's term, a career official in the White House Office of Records Management expressed concerns to the National Archives and Records Administration, or NARA, that there were presidential records in the White House residence that had not been transferred to the White House Office of Records Management. At the same time that this career bureaucrat was complaining to NARA, Trump was preparing his binder of declassified documents for public release. At Trump's request, the DOJ provided the White House with a binder of materials related to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation. The transfer had been delayed because the FBI was objecting to the release of these documents, since the binder contained embarrassing information about the Bureau's officials and the government's conduct in the case. As this was ongoing, Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, informed journalist John Solomon of the pending declassification and told him that the records would be made available before President Trump left office on January 20th. But as Solomon's staff began examining parts of the binder, they received a call from the White House asking that the documents be returned because the White House wished to make some additional redactions to unclassified information under the Privacy Act. Which is strange, because as Solomon's filing notes, according to the DOJ, the Crossfire Hurricane binder was not subject to the Privacy Act. This unexpected decision led to the document's sudden return to the White House. Meadows promised Solomon that he would receive the revised binder, but this never occurred, because on January 20th, 2021, Meadows sent the binder back to the DOJ, where the Attorney General was supposed to add additional redactions and then publicly release it. The documents, of course, were never returned.
So you get the idea, right? That they confiscated those documents. They didn't do what they said they would do. And there's no right to privacy when you're a public entity like the government. The government doesn't get the right to privacy that the private citizen does. The government is the public sphere, and the citizen is the private citizen. That's the way it works in our society. So let's take a listen to this. This, again, I had this queued up for yesterday. We're playing it today. Do you all remember the infamous picture of the supposed classified? So that, by the way, what you just heard was talking about the Mar-a-Lago case. That was the Jack Smith case. And so Jack Smith's case is all but over because of that. Yesterday's testimony, we're going to get into a little later. Ends pretty much the Letitia James or the Alvin Bragg case. The Letitia James case is the E. Jean Carroll case. That's probably going to be one on appeal. And then you got the Fulton County Fannie Willis case, right? It's insane, right? It's ridiculous. But this is John Ratcliffe. John Ratcliffe, the infamous picture of the supposed classified documents. So he's going to talk about that infamous picture at Mar-a-Lago. Again, this is in part what Jeff Carlson was talking about. But they didn't just withhold, then they planted.
In terms of the classified documents,
they doctored the photo for the public.
In terms of the classified documents case, I remember the infamous picture that the FBI took of all those classified documents that they said that they took from Mar-a-Lago. Specifically, tell me about what you're saying, that what evidence was tampered with, and did the FBI tamper with this?
Yeah, so that famous photograph, what we have now learned, and the government has had, Jack Smith and his prosecutors have had to admit, is that was staged, and those top secret classified sheets that all the public saw and said, oh my God, look at those top secret documents, those were placed there by the FBI, and what Jack Smith admitted in court this week was that, in his words, they mishandled the classified documents and misrepresented those to the court. Maria, that's a kind way of saying we tampered with the evidence and then we lied to the court about it. And they got caught when President Trump's lawyers and the other co-defendants raised this issue and said, look, the documents here don't match up. The documents that were presented to us don't match the digitally scanned records of when they were taken from Mar-a-Lago. And Jack Smith, not only did they tamper with that and lie to the court about it, but he's now admitted to the court that he doesn't know how that happened. He's only offered a number of possible explanations for how that could have happened. So he's absolutely blown the chain of custody. And again, he has a prosecutor,
it's always
lead prosecutor
a chain of custody
in this case,
issue.
Jay Bratt, who met with White House counsel and a representative of the National Archives in several times in the weeks before Jack Smith was even appointed.
Wow.
Maria, this reeks of crossfire hurricane when the Obama-Biden administration fabricated evidence before the FISA court, lied to the court about it to pursue Donald Trump, and now we're seeing it again in this classified documents case. The judge could dismiss this case at any point in time, Maria. I think the only reason that she hasn't is she wants to document this publicly so that the public can see just how this case is being prosecuted, how unfairly Donald Trump has been persecuted in this matter by Joe Biden's Department of Justice.
Yeah, I mean, chain of custody is everything in elections. It's everything in cases like this. You know, that's how they got away with the election fraud. There was no chain of custody with the ballot that was filled out by a harvester, picked up illegally, dropped off with a mask, and then somehow sent in. And when it came to signature verification, they threw out the envelope, and then they counted the ballot, and then there was no chain of custody between the signature and the ballot. So, because the signatures were never going to match up. That's why signature verifications, I mean, we need to get away from needing a signature verification. We need to get away from mail-in balloting. We need to get away from anonymous drop boxes. We need to get away from ballot harvesters. We need to get away from all of that. It needs to be same-day voting. It needs to be done in person. An ID needs to be required, proof of to verify who you are. And it needs to be just only natural-born citizens. Because there are lots of problems with our election right now. I got some news for you. I got news for you. I got two stories here that I'm going to share with you. One, breaking: the most corrupt election clerk from the biggest city in Wisconsin has been fired. Claire Woodall Vogue was a key player in the stealing of the 2020 election in, I believe it's Wisconsin. Yeah, Wisconsin. Well, I just said that. Biggest city in Wisconsin. She printed 64,000 ballots in the back conference room of City Hall, room 501, for the November 3rd, 2020 election. She had city employees and others fill some of those out on the 4th, 6th, and other floors of City Hall. Then kicked out observers around 10 to 10:30 p.m. on November 3rd, then brought in large amounts of ballots at 1:15 a.m. on November 4th. All illegal, unconstitutional. Number one way, however, the liberals stole the presidential election in 2020. So that was according to Peter Berninger, who basically, this woman was convicted right here. So this woman, she's been trending. I think she got arrested for this. They busted her on it. Okay, so let's take a listen to this. This is interesting. Election fraud, Michigan. Now, this is a new one. This isn't going back to 2020 anymore. This is today. Michigan, on May 1st, 2024, voter roll data update. Brace yourself for impact. 7,436,478 voting age residents. There's 7.436 million voting age residents. Guess how many registered voters there are against the voting age residents. So there's 7.436 million voting age residents in Michigan. And there's 7.621 million registered voters. Michigan has about 200,000 more registered voters than voting age residents. Are you with me? Are you doing the math? I mean, I don't even know if this would have come out under a Ronald McDaniels leadership. But I think what you're seeing is that Lara Trump is spending a lot of money on subpoenas, on FOIA requests, on data in key states. And if we fix the problems in Wisconsin, where they can no longer cheat like the Miss Vogue woman, or we could get ahead of the curve and nip this in the bud before it starts. I mean, we're already going to have debates, if we have them at all, after voting starts in some states. But I doubt that that's even going to happen. I don't think Biden's up to it. But this is amazing. 200,000 more registered voters than voting age people in Michigan. You know, there's no registered to vote problem in our country if you have over 100%. We need to get more people to register to vote. Remember that? That would imply that maybe 60-70% of the people of the voting age residents were registered to vote. Now our country has 120% registered voters to the natural population. That's insane, right? That's absolutely insane. We are going to go ahead and take this caller. He called in twice now, so we'll take him. Caller?
Take me, Scott.
All right.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. We got to keep it quick,
Scott,
though.
Let me ask you one question.
Okay.
What is the one thing that this two-party system always seems to get done as fast as possible, and they both agree on it unanimously?
Spending your money.
To fund the government.
Yeah.
This will never stop until we get back to a monetary system that is not the one we have.
No, we need real budgets. We need a ceiling. We need a budget. We need to live within our means. I think when Trump comes into office, I think that we are going to cut so many departments and agencies. I think we're going to go with simplifying the government. I would like to see a simplified tax system where we can get rid of about 2/3 of the IRS and then automate. And then also, you know, do better with our post office, privatize it if we need to, but get rid of these government agencies. The government has become the biggest employer in America, and it's the
biggest
reason,
corporation ever.
Yeah, and it's the reason why the jobs numbers are skewed the way they are, because if it wasn't for the government employment, our unemployment would be through the roof. The biggest hiring number is the government.
Yeah, I mean,
they're doing that to stimulate the economy. So it's a false stimulation of the economy, because most of the salaries that are being spent to stimulate the economy are being financed by the taxpayers. You get it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about George Soros earlier. I guarantee you that a few dollars that has passed through your hands, through your labor, your productivity, and went to the government, has gone to George Soros. And the reason why is because George Soros has full-time staff figuring out ways how to get government grants from the United States taxpayer. And then they take that money and they use that money to go against us to create all of this division, all this chaos.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We have soldiers all over the world, and they say we're fighting for our freedom. They're not fighting for our freedom. They're fighting for BlackRock. And they're fighting for Vanguard and all of the people that are invested in the military industrial complex.
Right. Right. You
can
are.
You imagine.
Well, thank you for calling in today.
You bet.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, there it is, folks. All right. We're running out of time quickly. All right. So I just told you about this election fraud. I think that that's a huge story. All right. Good news. MIT, in a watershed moment, MIT abandons DEI. Requests for a statement on diversity will no longer be part of applications for any faculty positions at MIT. President Sally Kornbluth explained her goal of tapping into the full scope of human talent. This, my friends, will be a watershed moment. She's sitting there. They got a picture of her with the blue glasses on, sitting in the committee hearing. She was one of the most radical left, and she's abandoning DEI. Enough already. Also, other good news, Panama's new president, Jose Mulino, he's the new guy, has promised to put an end to illegal migrants going through his country to cross the United States border. He defeated all the communists and socialist ruling parties in a massive upset. Mulino has pledged to shut down the crossing and deport migrants who break Panamanian law, saying that he will not permit thousands of illegals to pass through our territory like nothing without control. His opponents were actually campaigning to open the path even more. He was originally supposed to be vice president under Ricardo Martinelli, but the current government sentenced Martinelli to 10 years for embezzlement and money laundering. Mulino became the presidential candidate after that. The conservative populist party had zero seats in the National Assembly, and now they control the presidency. God has visited Panama. Mulino is already talking to President El Salvador, who we listened to yesterday talk about how printing the government's print money and borrow against the printed money and all this. So it's really, really good news in Panama. This is great. So we'll see what happens. All right. We got something else. All right. The U.S. State Department turned Ukraine into a cesspool of corruption and is now determined to expand their Russian aggression tactics in Georgia. Russia law would require NGOs to disclose foreign funding in excess of 20%. Naturally, the State Department objects to that level of transparency. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic that's going on in Tbilisi. They want to turn Georgia into the next slush fund because people are getting tired of Ukraine. Ukraine's, the tarnish is worn off. People have finally gotten the memo that Ukraine is nothing but a cesspool for corruption and money laundering. So, hey, let's do Georgia instead. That's the next best thing, right? That's what they're doing. Same play. So this just in, it appears that the prosecution just destroyed their entire case against Trump in the hush money trial. Trump comptroller Jeff McConney just testified that he is the one who instructed the accounting department to classify the payments as legal expenses. He says he did that because of how Cohen worked the invoices. This entire case is based on the premise that Donald Trump had the payments classified as legal expenses to hide hush money payments. The judge should immediately throw this case out after that testimony. How much longer can this madness continue? It's really something. Trump trial lead prosecutor is Matthew Cullen Jello. Wife Ann Small sits on the board of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund with Jonathan Soros, George Soros' son. They had filed an amicus brief with SCOTUS asking Trump to be disqualified from running for office. They are also a group that has been openly hostile, claiming connections to his campaign, white supremacist violence, and voter suppression. They hate Trump with a passion. They hate Trump so bad they can taste it. And so that is the lead attorney against Trump in the hush money case. So Epoch TV says prosecutors knew documents were awaiting shipment to Mar-a-Lago. We just heard Jeff Carlson talk about that. Oh, this is ironic. Mark Zuckerberg Mark Zuckerberg, he's got a new diesel-powered 287-foot mega yacht moored in Fort Lauderdale. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, known for his climate change advocacy, has recently added a new $300 million mega yacht to his extravagant collection of toys, including a Gulfstream airplane, G650 private jet, powered by four MTU engines. Zuckerberg's mega yacht can reach a top speed of 24 knots. However, the use of large displacement diesel engine contradicts Zuckerberg's public stance on climate change and environmental sustainability. It's a nice yacht. Blue hull. It's red, white, blue, actually. It's got a red bottom trim, a white top trim, and a blue hull. Pro-American, looks like. Very nice. Huge. All right. Who is the next president of the United States? Let's take a listen to this short clip. Some people think it's going to be Mark Rubio. Some people think it's going to be Lee Zeldin. Some people think it's going to be Stefanik from New York. The problem with Mark Rubio is you can't have the VP and the president from the same state.
The amount of talent that we have in the Republican Party is extraordinary. He doesn't just have a bunch of choices for VP. He has a bunch of choices for a cabinet. He's going to have an extraordinary group of talented people that can serve this country in multiple roles. And that's a decision he's going to have to make. And I would just say, forget leaving me aside for a moment. I think that before anyone decides to move from their state, you better make sure you move to a state where there's not some DA that makes a career after going after Republicans. Because what we're seeing all over the country right now is the weaponization of our criminal justice system. Not just to go after Donald Trump, which is now well documented, right? You have a Biden-supporting judge, a Biden prosecutor in the most liberal county in America on ridiculous charges, and the rest of the world is watching that saying, you know, this is the stuff that America used to sanction other countries for doing.
Okay.
Well, it's happening here in America. But I think that that's something that we need to be focused on, because I do think that has an impact on people's thinking about getting into politics.
It's definitely not going to be Kristi Noem. By the way, I don't know what she did to her face, but man, the Botox is just through the roof. And that affair that she had with Corey Lewandowski, cheating on her husband, wasn't so great. And then her position on allowing transvestites to go against women athletes was not a smart move. She tried to cover that up, but when you compare the way Ron DeSantis handled it and the way Kristi Noem handled it back in the day, about 5 years ago, you're talking about two different ways to handle something. And she made a lot of excuses. So, nah, I'm going to pass on Kristi Noem. And everybody else is too. But Ron DeSantis is definitely being considered. I think Ted Cruz could be considered. And I think Marco Rubio could be considered. But some people that you don't hear about, Lee Zeldin and Elise Stefanik, are a couple of winners as well. And then J.D. Vance, a guy that trashed Trump and was aligned with Mitt Romney, and someone that I really lost respect for out of that, but I've met and is a nice guy, has come around, come full circle. So I don't know if I can trust J.D. Vance. That's the only thing, because he's flip-flopped on that, on Trump himself. So I don't know what to say about that. There's a lot of other people, though, I would consider. And in any case, I want to get to this Flynn thing. All right, so we have some time. President Trump put out a memo, and he put out this memo, and it says, public discussion potential administration jobs for themselves. Or this was written December 2023, where their friends are, in fact, hurting President Trump and themselves. These are unwelcome distractions. So, statement from Susie Wiles and Chris LaCifita on media speculation about transition efforts. So, people publicly discussing potential administration jobs. And there was some talk about Flynn in a lot of different ways. It's hurtful. You know, people are going to allow Flynn to do whatever he's doing. But just so you know, there's receipts out there where he's donated to the wrong people. Paycheck Protection Program loans, U.S. Small Business Administration, to borrow a name was Resilient Patriot, one of his companies, where he got $30,000. And so someone put together this thread, and it says, it starts off with the Trump letter. Then it says, he is promoting RFK Jr. and praising him regularly, Trump's political opponent. So that's one thing that Flynn's doing. And there's more. So Trump said this, so bad that Fox News puts RFK Jr. considered the dumbest member of the Kennedy clan, right? And this is too long to read. But basically this, we'll never rehire anyone who has not remained loyal. Fed Flintstone received 8 subpoenas, a.k.a. it's time to debrief his handlers. So there's that. Dude is a PSYOP commander. You don't see General Stanley McChrystal giving messaging directly. I happen to know some inside stuff on Flynn. And I know that he was paid through Patrick Byrne, and he had an in-and-out relationship with Alex Jones, and there was a whole bunch of things going on. And at the time, there was desperate times. He exploits the hell out of everything that he can. But basically, I know what he's been doing. I just lost my thing. Let's see. I'm going to try to find it. Well, I could talk to it free flow. I don't even have to go through my thread that I had. I had a thread that I lost it. I don't know. It's just that happens during live. But I can tell you that just in a nutshell that Flynn was working with Patrick Byrne and Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. And again, I said yesterday, one of the things that you have to understand, I was interviewed by a writer named John Swain from Washington Post as a secret source. And because I knew so much about what was going on with the Kraken and the infiltration, but there's a reason why his two-bit case lasted 3.5 years. It's because Sidney Powell got involved. Sidney Powell had a book called License to Lie. She wrote that book, and she promoted Emmett Sullivan, the judge, in that case. And and he's the judge that delayed everything that was harsh and that was just relentless against Trump. And he hates Trump. And yet Sidney Powell had nothing but praise for this Emmett Sullivan guy. Happens to be representing a lifelong liberal named Michael Flynn. And Michael Flynn's done some shady stuff with a lot of people that I've known, as has actually Mike Lindell and Sidney Powell. And I can prove that some of these things as well. So these were a lot of people that were just sort of exploiting the heck out of Trump's, you know, at a time when Trump needed his more real support, he was getting a lot of piranhas and agitators. They were infiltrators and acting like they cared, but they didn't. And so, you know, all during the Trump presidency, there was this Michael Flynn fiasco. And I will say that because Michael Flynn became a cabinet member, got himself to be a cabinet member, and then got pinched by the FBI and then got fired, Trump was unable to release the Crossfire Hurricane data. And when he fired Comey, right away, within 2 minutes, they get the special counsel against Trump so that Trump couldn't release the evidence that he wanted to release on Obama. And that's where Flynn was an operative. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. I apologize. I didn't do a great job with the Flynn piece. I will bring it up again. But check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Goodbye, buddy.